I just want to remind younger people that you can have the program that you want to have. And when you look at other programs, you don't have to do all the things.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a place where we have real conversations with influential female music educators and performers. I'm your host, Amanda DeFries. In this episode, we are joined by someone who has helped me navigate my relationship with work-life balance. Jana Harvey currently serves as the Associate Band Director at Flower Mound High School. With over 26 years of teaching experience, Jana continues to find new, innovative ways to connect with their students.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, you hear people say all the time, like, kids are different, everything's different. I think that sentiment has always been around. And so I think that when I was in middle school, I think the teachers were probably saying kids are different these days. And I think that there's merit to that. And I think that I see differences in kids. I see differences, major differences in education, all of that. But what I try to remember is that it's okay that things change as long as you continue to change with them. And as long as you continue to tweak and change. And we always, you know, the sentiment, nobody likes change, you know. I never want to be the person that just digs in, you know, and kids just aren't as good as they used to. I don't believe that. I just believe that things are different. These kids are different because, you know, when I didn't get my first cell phone until I was in college, you know, and even that, it was a brick. You know, I didn't have my first email address until my very first teaching job. Yeah. You know, that's not what these kids, I mean, their whole life, they've had, you know, a device in front of, I mean, it is a different world for them, and it's our job to learn how to educate them in their world. You know, just like it was, you know, my teacher's job to educate me in my world, even though it's maybe not the same thing that they grew up with. So yeah. Just kind of keeping that in mind, that you just never, you know, just don't ever dig in, you know?
Yeah, and one of the things that was really cool to see is that I think, from my perspective, you're very passionate about, you know, what you do and the program that you're involved in. Did you always know that you wanted to be a music educator?
I did not. I was going to go to Texas Tech because I went to band camp at Texas Tech. And so I, you know, was brainwashed from an early age that that's where I should go. And just because I fell in love with the university through my experience at the Tech band and orchestra camp. But I was going to be an engineer. I was really good at math. My dad was an engineer, and so that's what I was going to do. And I tell this story, it's like the nerdiest thing ever, is like my senior year in high school, you know, region band, and I was sitting on the stage, and Jack Stamp was the conductor, and literally was performing, and I just had, like, I literally had a moment that I was like, I can't not do music every day. And it was literally a moment for me. And then of course, whatever inner turmoil I was going through as a senior in high school, you know, and I decided, well, I think I want to be a band director, and built up. And I mean, I made it into this big thing, and my parents were doing yard work. I went outside, I started crying. I told them I had to talk to them. And I said, I want to be a band director. And my mom was like, sounds great. They thought something was really wrong. And they were like, I don't know why I didn't think that they would support me in that decision. They absolutely did. And then from that moment on, though, I will tell you, and I know not everybody's journey is like that, I never wavered. Not that I didn't want the semester to end when I was in college, not that I'm not excited for summer break at the end of my, you know, year of teaching or whatever, but I really have never wavered. Like, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm meant to do, and I am passionate about, like you said.
Yeah, and I can relate to that on as well, because I was the same way. I also was fairly good at math, and I thought I wanted to be like a software engineer,
right?
Or like even
something that makes money.
Yes. Yes. My parents work for Workforce Solutions. So they're very in the, yeah. Yes, you have to get like a business job or something like that. So that was where my head was. But senior year of high school, where I wanted to figure out what I wanted to do, I could not see myself doing anything but music, because, you know, I was that person who would show up at 7:30 in the morning to the band hall and then not leave until 5:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just had such good experiences. And, you know, the band that I was in high school was not like the band that Flower Mound is. And, you know, we didn't have a ton of competitive success, but my experience was so good. I mean, we we were last at area, I think. You know, I mean, but my experience was so good, and I had so much respect for my band directors that those people made me want to do that for the rest of my life. And I always think, like, it doesn't matter what a kid's experience is, or, you know, where every kid's experience is different. It doesn't matter what it is, but you can inspire kids at any level. You know, I, you know, my experience growing up in Plano, you know, 6 through 12, like, those people showed me that that's what I wanted to do, you know? And I think that that's a pretty cool thing. You know, we didn't go to Grand Nationals. We didn't, you know, march in the Tournament of Roses. We didn't do those things, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, we went to Disney World. I still got to play Lincolnshire Posey, you know, when I was at Plano East, and I still, you know, got to go to Disney World with my friends and ride buses on, you know, Friday night, and all the things that all the kids love. So,
yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. And so would you say the impact that your band directors had on you, was that truly the turning point when you wanted to pursue teaching specifically?
I think so. You know, I had, I mean, speaking of a real giant, a female giant in the profession, Cindy Lansford was my middle school band director prior to when she left Plano and went on to do incredible, you know, more incredible things. But so from an early age, I mean, I had that female role model. And I tell people, she comes and helps my kids at Flower Mound now. And I tell my kids, like, she's the reason that I'm a band director, you know? I mean, she showed me, you know, and just, you know, her humor and, you know, of course, her knowledge of all of music in all of that, and her love for music, you know, I was able to pick up on that. Neither one of my parents were musicians. And so she just showed me at an early age what was, I think, possible. And I always wanted to be her, you know, I wanted to be Cindy, you know,
yeah.
You know, as I was growing up, you know?
Yeah. And so, that's really awesome that you had, a positive female role model, especially mm-hmm. in this space, from an early age. So do you believe, like, you know, thinking about into your teaching career now, that it is vitally important for students to have that same positive, like, female role model?
I do think so. Now, I will say, you know, Cindy was my middle school band director, and then I had all male high school directors. I always thought when I was in college, I always thought that I would be a middle school director. I always thought I would be a middle school head director. I started at the middle school level. I taught for 2 years mm-hmm. At the middle school level in Plano. Before I moved to the 9th and 10th grade high school and taught and started teaching there. But I went to the 9th and 10th grade high school with the expectation that I would go back to the middle school. Mm-hmm. And I've thought about this a lot, and I don't really have an answer. I don't know if the reason I thought I should be a middle school band director was because I had a passion for that, or because I thought that that's where females should be. That was where my female role model should be.
Right.
I didn't see many males in the high school world. And so I don't know. I honestly don't know if that played a role in my thinking. I think probably at some level it did, you know, some subconscious, you know, it was never like, oh, girls belong here, guys belong. You know, it was never that dramatic, but I'm sure, you know, I think of myself, I'm 47 years old. When I became the head director at Clark High School in Plano, I was the first head high school female director in Plano, in the history.
Wow, that's awesome.
Of the district. And I'm not that old. You know, when you think about those kinds of things, you know. And so now, I mean, it's great to see. You know, I think that there should be men and women on staffs. I mean, we just reach kids in different ways, you know. I mean, you know, I just think that there should be a female on the staff for them to come to. There should also be a male, you know, on the staff for. I just think that dynamic is important. I know that it's been important to all the kids that, you know, in the band staffs that I've been on, you know, at Plano East and now at Flower Mounds. And I just think that it's important. And I'm glad to see now, of course, there's more females entering, you know, the high school world. So it's great to see. So I do think that's important.
Yeah. And so going back to what you said about Clark, how you found out you were the first female head band director at that high school. How did it feel knowing that?
I didn't know it in the time, yeah. You know, I was like, it was just after the fact and somebody pointed out and I was like, huh. I mean, I can tell you that I think in the moment I wasn't caught up in male, female. I was scared out of my mind because I didn't think I was going to do a good enough job. And, you know, what was I, I can vividly, I worked with Nick Williams, who a lot of people know. I was Nick's assistant at Clark, and then he left and went on to do the college thing. And then I ended up taking over at Clark, which is when I made the decision that I would stay at high school. At that, until that point, I thought I would always go back to middle school. But in that moment, I thought, okay, this is where I belong. This is my path. This is my journey, you know, and so here I go. And so I was just scared, but I didn't think it had anything to do with, you know, male, female. It's just, I wanted to do a good job, you know. I didn't want to fail.
Right.
You know, I wanted it to be great, so.
And so one of the important aspects of, like, why I'm so lucky to have you on this podcast is because not only are you a positive female role model for many down the line, and I think the work that you have done is great, but I'm sure some of it was not easy. So, you know, in your 26 years of teaching, was there any struggles that you have endured, like being specifically a female educator?
You know, I don't, certainly not with my colleagues. You know, I have been the luckiest, you know, going through, you know, all of the men that I've worked with have, you know, empowered me and accepted me. And, you know, those people that know me know that I'm loud, and I'm very, you know, I have strong opinions, and I don't hide them. And there's a lot that comes along. There's a lot that comes with Jana.
You know? Yes.
I'm type A to the nth degree. You know? There's a lot that comes along with me, and all the men that I've worked with have allowed me to be myself and have empowered that and have embraced that. Even on the days that may be frustrating, you know? And so I don't feel like that. You know, when I think back on things, maybe a parent conference or two, you know, along the way that, you know, parents don't, and specifically fathers, you know, maybe not taking, you know, me as seriously in the moment. I do think that, you know, the way I provide their kids with a great experience, mm-hmm. you know, they love it. And I think that, you know, if I can sit down face to face with people, it usually, you know, it usually fixes itself, you know, because they can see that I'm knowledgeable and that, you know, I'm professional and, you know, all of that. But, you know, I can't think of really any struggles, you know, that I may have had. You know, I will say I feel like in the last several years now, I do think there's been, you know, an effort to recognize females in the profession and recognize diversity and all of that. And I do think I've been the beneficiary. I've gotten to do some really cool things, you know, as be on some great committees and all of that. And so I do appreciate that voice and those people that are seeking that out, you know, these days.
Yeah. And that's truly very humbling to hear that you've had, you know, a lot of great supporters, especially male. So you've worked with Brent for about
11 years.
Yeah, and so
feels like a lifetime.
and I've seen the, you know, briefly the two of you work together, which has been, mm-hmm. you know, it's like yin and yang kind of. And so has there been things that he's done specifically to support you? And if so, what do you think is a great way for other male directors to support other women in this community?
Well, I think with Brent, you know, He tells the story that, you know, we didn't know each other before I came to work at Flowermill. We knew of each other, but didn't know each other. And when he became the director at Flowermill, Bill Watson, who's a dear friend and mentor of both of us, called him and said, all right, we need to find an assistant. And he said, okay. And Bill said to him, and Brent tells the story, like, are you okay working with somebody smarter than you? And so Brent said, yeah, of course, you know. And so Bill called me, and we ended up all meeting. And the thing with Brent that I appreciate the most, and I appreciate this as a female, but more importantly, I appreciate this as the assistant director, there's no ego in it with Brent. You know, Brent is complete, Brent shares the podium with me. You know, what a great opportunity, you know, and what a great role model. I mean, we're not the first people to do that, but we're different musicians, we're different people, we're different, you know, we stand in front of it. I mean, we are offering a wider range, and it's been a great role model for the entire program. You know, now I share the podium with Kyle, our you know, our other director, we share the podium with the symphonic band. You know, it's just, it's good for kids. And for this to be, no, this is my band, or this is your band, or how about these are our bands, you know, with kids. And I appreciate that about Brent. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, he lets me be unapologetically myself. And those people that know us know that we will go toe to toe, you know, and Brent is okay as a head. I mean, if I disagree with, you know, I'm not going to disagree with him in front of a wide public audience, but if I disagree with him, he's fine. And we're going to, you know, we're going to argue it out, you know, on things, and we're going to talk things through, and he's totally okay with that. I'm never scared to, you know, share my opinion, offer my opinion, which I believe, you know, all of that encompassing is what is, you know, protected the longevity of our, you know, friendship and our professional relationship too. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm so glad that you have that. And I can resonate a little bit with the Ultimate Drill Book. Like, I was actually having dinner with Jack the other day, and I was telling him, I am so lucky to, even though I'm one of the very few women in Ultimate Drill Book, I do work alongside a bunch of men. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like, I have never in like a Zoom meeting or any of the events we attended to, they always uplift me. They always also let me, if I have something that I feel that I need to share, they let me share that voice. And in that, I felt myself grow more assertive, and now having this platform where I get to share my voice and share your voices, you know, it's very, very great and awesome to know that there are people out there that are just trying to support us. And I'm all about the goodness in the world. So I'm very glad to know that that we're creating such a supportive community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, a word from our sponsors. Stry TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to strytv.com and use code FEMFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stry TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community. Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drill Book. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app, and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB App Pro.
Have you noticed a change maybe in representation or women in general throughout the years of teaching? Like, do you think there's more women in the field now? Or,
well, there's more women in the high school field.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. And some women that are doing some pretty incredible things. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, you know, which is awesome. Some of them that you're spotlighting on, you know, this, you know, the not as seasoned, as you said, the younger generation, you know, which is awesome. I mean, so definitely, you know, there's more women, which I think is great and, you know, important, you know, just like I looked up to Cindy Lansford, you know, there's this whole nother generation of women that are out there not only doing great middle school, and by the way, there are some incredible men doing middle school things, you know, obviously too, but, you know, just seeing that representation grow from the female perspective in the high school world, I think only good can come from it. I think only good can come from that.
Yes, I agree. There are a bunch of people that I ran into today at TMEA that are new, you know, music educators. I am cheering them on, and I'm so excited and so happy for them. And I think it's awesome that there is being more representation being shown, especially with the whole younger generation, which is what this is all about.
Right.
And so, you know, with the knowledge that you have now, do you have any advice for those who are just getting started in their career?
Well, I think that's something that clearly the profession and, you know, not only the band directing profession, but clearly education right now is facing is I think that, you know, people are, I mean, we see people leaving, you know, and I'm really passionate about the longevity. I mean, I'm seeing this thing through, you know, I've been in 26 years, you know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, this is it, you know, for me. I feel confident that I'm going to get to the end. And it's been the most rewarding experience. Like being a band kid was great, but being a band director has been so much better than that. And, you know, it makes me sad that people are leaving, and I hear all of the, you know, and I mean, I don't blame anybody, you know, everybody has their stuff and they have to make the best decisions for themselves and their families. But, you know, and I get it, there's money involved and there's time involved and whatever. I just want to remind younger people that you can have the program that you want to have. And when you look at other programs, you don't have to do all the things. You don't have to stay. I don't stay at Flower Mound till 8 o'clock every night. Are there busy times? Do we work really hard? Yes, but we don't, I mean, I, you know, I'm running in before first period. I mean, we, you know, Brent stays. I mean, we don't run a morning rehearsal schedule sectionals because Brent is at home with his boys and he helps get them ready for school. And you can run the program that you want to run. And so just thinking that you have to put in a 10 to 12 hour day to make things work, I think has, you know, I think that a lot of people, and again, I want to be transparent, not that I don't work a 10 to 12 hour day every once in a while, but I do think that that's become this like, look at me, look how hard I work, look how many hours I work. And I think that we look on social media and you see people either putting that in a positive light or a negative light, right. Both of those things. I think we all see that, you know, and just, you know, I want to just make sure that people understand it doesn't have to be that way. It can be whatever you want it to be. And just because Jana Harvey does it this way does not mean that you have to do it that way. Jana Harvey does it this way because that's who Jana Harvey is. And that's, you know, what I've grown over 26 years that I've decided I'm going to commit and do. But it doesn't have to be that way, you know?
And you mentioned a really good point on work-life balance. And that's something that I have even tried like learning myself. Like one of the things for me is I used to be very hustle culture and very much like get up at whatever, you know, early break of dawn in the morning and then work till almost 8, 9 o'clock. And obviously right now I'm in a different field, but just I had to learn to take a step back. I actually own two phones. One is work and one is personal.
Oh, that's great.
And so that allowed me to have that physical separation. So for instance, to make myself not work over the weekend, I would lock my phone in my home office, close the door. And if I was out with friends, I would not bring it with me. Yeah. And that was what I needed to learn to have work life balance to avoid burnout. And so I actually want to show you something you posted specifically during the pandemic, which we know you talked about. There's been an influx of teachers leaving this profession specifically. Yes. And I just want you to look over that for a second that I found.
You found like the one thing I posted ever.
Yes.
I just stalk everybody on social media. I don't actually post my own things.
Yeah. And so you're just talking about, you know, how proud you are of the students, because obviously we know during the pandemic, it was a really hard time and kind of, as you previously mentioned, with teachers leaving the profession, especially during this hard time, what was the driving force for you that made you stay and want to, you know, stay and live your passion?
Man, this was a crazy time. So I posted, that's a post that I made on the day that the class of 2020 at Flower Mound graduated. Mm-hmm. And it was, as everybody knows. I mean, it was extremely difficult and it was extremely emotional. And we didn't get any closure. You know, they were just gone. I remember that we did a drive-through where they came and picked up the stuff from their lockers and there were just kids crying and it was just terrible. And we would see them on, you know, WebEx, which is what our district used. And we'd see them on WebEx and you just over time, like, they just didn't look good. And, you know, it was just, it was rough for all of us. You know, I took the time, our seniors, I wrote them all a letter, hand wrote everybody, because we had a lot of time. And I mailed it to them. I mailed them all a letter during that time. It was so difficult and things have not been easy since. And they're still not easy. And their things are not back to normal, if you will. I'm not even sure what normal is, but you know, things are not back to normal. you know, as far as band goes, you know, it's just been trying to get the kids to remember, like, or learn, because they never did. I mean, for us, it's a return to normalcy. I think what we forget about the kids is, like, some of them lost, like, middle school. Like, yeah. That's a really, really, like, important developmental time in any person's life, and those years are gone.
Right.
And so we're dealing with things that maybe the middle school directors were working through with them. Well, now we're dealing with that at the high school, you know? And I'm sure, I'm sure the middle school directors would tell you some of the same things. You know, there's just gaps of time for these kids that were gone. You know, I think that there's more, just from an education, not band directing, I mean, from administrative, like, there's do this, you know, do more, do this paper, do, you know, all of these things, you know, do more with the same amount of time and the same amount of resources. And so clearly we are at a breaking point. I mean, I think that everybody sees that tipping point happening right now. And hopefully the people that are in charge will respond appropriately, you know, to that. But that's not something that we can control. So what I try to remember, and, you know, is that the very best thing, and I'm sure this is, you know, universal, the most favorite part of my day is when I'm with the kids. That's why we all got into this. It was to teach. We didn't all get into this to take attendance by 10:05. We did not get into this to do, you know, grade pass offs, you know, to midnight every night. It's when I'm with the kids. So when things are not going, you know, well, when I'm having a bad day or a bad week or whatever, I really make sure that I'm present in my rehearsals and that I'm with the kids. You know, I joke with Brent. I mean, Brent clearly has a very different job description than I do. He's on the phone a lot. You know, when the principal comes looking, the principal is not looking for Jana Harvey. The principal is looking for Brent Biskup. You know, Ms. Drinkwater is looking for Brent Biskup. You know, so there are things that pull him in a different direction. And he starts to get, you know, weighed down with, you know, what his stuff. And I will tell him, it's time for you to come out and be with the kids. You know, it's time for you to just put, like, that'll all be there and come out and be with the kids, you know, and just be present at rehearsals. So when all that stuff is overwhelming, which it is, and it's not better right now, just be present. Be present with the kids. That's why you decided to do this. Be present with the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And if you don't get the form filled out, you don't get the form filled out, you know? They're not gonna fire you because they can't find anybody else right now. So it is what it is. So
yeah. And with that being said, one of the questions that I really want to ask you is, as of right now in your life, what do you define as, obviously you've impacted kids in multiple ways and have a lot of accolades behind you. What is your future in this profession? Like, who do you want to be, or who are you, who do you think you are right now, and what experiences do you want to create for those kids?
Well, wow, that's a lot. There's a lot there in that question. I just consider it an honor to be able to affect their lives in any way. And I really do mean it when I tell the kids, we have this time, we have a tradition that we have some time with our seniors, just a way, like, you know, right before the last concert, we go to a different part of the building and we just have some time with them before things get crazy and we talk to them. And the one thing I always say to them is that they've affected my life more than they can ever know. And if I've affected them even a fraction of that, then it's a success, you know? And I really do mean that. You know, I look at them and I, you know, I mean, even those lovely, I say lovely in quotation marks, you know, kids that get your last nerve. You know, there's some kids that just get, you know, even those kids that, I mean, when I, not in the moment, I'm real mad, but, you know, they've just taught me, you know, so much as I go through. I mean, they really have all affected my life. So I just take, I think that's a great honor that we get to do. You know, and we've always set up Flower Mom like providing kids with experiences. It has nothing to do with competitive success. And I know people say, well, that's easy for you to say, you've had some of that. And all of that stuff is nice, but it's never been about that. It never is about that. It's providing kids with experiences And we'll continue, as long as those kids and those families want those experiences, we'll continue to try to do that. You know, things that they'll remember. You know, my Allstate kids right now are having the time of their lives down here in San Antonio. And those kids have gotten to do some really cool things. And I'm confident that they will say that these 3 days in San Antonio will be their most memorable thing that they've done in high school, which is pretty cool. You know, for them to have those just kind of experiences. It's weird when people like you and you're like, I'm honored to meet you. I just don't see myself as that way. You know, I'm like, I'm just Jana Harvey, just doing my thing. And so I don't think of myself as, I think of myself as old in the profession. I think sometimes I look around and I'm like, we talk about this, my old friends and I now talk about this. We were just talking about this last night, like look around and you're like, oh, the generation above me has retired. So like, so I do think that there is a realization that my age group is coming to, that we are, you know, the elders that are in the active profession, you know, that are still teaching, that are in the class. And I do think that there's, you know, I want to lead the profession. I want to show people that it's worth staying. I want to model the right things. I want to inspire the next generation because I believe that's what the generation above me did. And so I do feel that responsibility. Although we're a little slow to take it on, I do think we're starting to realize our age and where we might be. You know, yes, my days are numbered, you know, I mean, I'm not in this until I'm in the grave. So where I see myself, I mean, it's like that senior in high school. I mean, I will always do music. I can't not do it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and now I look around and I'm like, man, look at Jolette and look at Melody Ann. And we just talked to Todd Clearwater and David Brandon right before this. And they're like, man, I get to do all the best parts. I go and like talk to kids and teach kids and then I bail. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's in my future. Maybe, I mean, I'm going to just be Aunt Jana to my two nieces and my four nephews, you know, and go to all their super cool stuff and watch them, you know, have all these amazing experiences. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where my path leads, you know?
Yeah, no. First of all, before we wrap up here, I just want to say thank you. And I really appreciate you coming and being on the show. I do have one last question to ask you.
Yes.
So you mentioned that senior self in band, knowing and having the knowledge that you have now, what is something you wish you would have known or advice you would have told yourself as that senior who knew that band is all I want to do and that's what I'm going to do?
That it's okay to fail and that you're going to learn a lot from those times and it's okay. You know, I still fall into this. I want every day, you know, I want to do a good job. I just want, that's who I am. I just want to do a good job. And, you know, I, you know, want that affirmation from other people to tell me that I'm doing a good job and all of that. And so I think just knowing, just saying to my younger self, like it's okay. Like it's okay to mess up. And like, it's going to be all right. And you're going to learn a lot from that. And then you're going to move on. It's going to make you better. You know, all those great experiences and all those bad experiences make us who we are. You know, you just really try not to let the bad experiences outweigh the good ones. You know, keep the great ones close to you and keep those like helping move you forward.
Amazing. And where can our listeners and viewers find you? Social media, website?
Okay, well, I'm old. You can find me on Facebook, but I mean, you're not going to find much about me. I don't post much. So I'm one of those people. I stalk the rest of the world because I love to know what you guys are about, but I'm like, I don't think anybody wants to know what Jana Harvey's doing. So I never post. But yes, I'm on Facebook. You know, I'm, of course, you can, if you have questions or whatever, I mean, I'm always here. People know where to find me at Flarma, and you can, you know, find my email address on the website. I am attached to email, so there's that. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeVries. Theme song is by Humans Win. Audio production and cinematography by Jack Pantelio. For more information on Femme Forte, follow us on social media at Femme Forte Podcast and StrideTV.com. Don't forget to watch the next week's episode on the StrideTV app.